Seasons change. Why not your tech? Upgrade now during the Dell Technologies Summer Sale event and save on select PCs like the XPS 16 powered by Intel Core processors. You'll be able to bring your most intensive projects to life with built-in AI, minimalistic design, immersive visuals, and cinematic audio. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to exceptional tech and electronics, plus free shipping on everything. Amazing prices await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
The one, the only, the Hall of Famer, Bill Walton.
Yeah, here we go.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I haven't broken any Tesla windshields today. I'm on the Rich Eisen Show. So what could be better? It's a beautiful day in Southern California. I'm truly the luckiest guy in the world.
Earlier on the show, ESPN NBA reporter Dave McMenamin, Arizona Cardinals radio voice Dave Pasch. Coming up, author Harlan Coben. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right. That's right. Hour number three of the show, Tuesday after Memorial Day weekend edition, is on the air. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the show. First 2 hours, man, lots of stories. Certainly last hour, remembering Bill Walton, who passed away at the age of 71 yesterday. Cancer took him. Man, cancer sucks. I cannot believe he's gone. We've been telling great stories amongst ourselves. Dave Pasch, who spent 12 years at the microphone with him from ESPN, zoomed in from Dallas, where he's calling game four on ESPN Radio tonight between the Mavericks and the Timberwolves. Talked about that with Dave McMenamin in hour number one as well. If you missed any of the first 2 hours, don't worry. We re-air right away right here on the Roku channel, channel 210. We're free on every Roku device known to man. We're live on the air as well on terrestrial radio, Sirius XM, and Odyssey. Our podcast, though, is there for anybody who wants to listen to all 3 hours. I was in Calgary, Alberta on Thursday night for an event for the University of Calgary Dinos. They couldn't have been nicer. It was great to hang with them. Met a few people who take in our show through our podcast.
Nice.
And through our different feeds, Roku, and it was great to meet them. It was a lot of fun. And I met one individual in particular who follows this show so well. He knows the name of your kid, my children.
Oh, goodness.
No, but it's great.
That's cool.
We talk about our life.
Sweet. Definitely
so I say hello to all of our friends now up north. They gave me a silver belt buckle. They did. First one of those I've ever
You're
gotten.
You're not wearing that right now?
No, I'm not. I'm actually not wearing any belt. I ran out of the house today without one. But trust me, let me tell you something about today. Cooper ran a 5K yesterday.
Yep.
This was his bar mitzvah project. Once you're bar mitzvahed, certainly in our household, certainly in Susie's household for sure, having a project for charity. Cooper chose a 13-year-old Israeli boy who went out for a jog on October 7th, and it saved his life because when he came back, Hamas had wiped his family off the planet and murdered them on that dreadful day. And so Coop, being 13 himself, wanted to raise some money for him and all the other orphans of October 7th. And ran a 5K yesterday. And it was beautiful. A lot of his friends came out and family members and what have you. I decided to run as well. Never run a 5K in my life. As you know, I'm a short distance runner by trade.
Yep.
Okay? Running 40 yards in a straight line is tough enough for me. But I decided to run a 5K. And I made it in about 30 minutes, 32 minutes or so.
Nice. Good time.
I'll tell you. I walked for a little bit.
Yeah.
Couldn't run it the entire time, but made it through. And boy, am I paying for it this morning. Honestly.
Calves a little on fire.
Calves. There's, name muscle.
Achilles, quads, hammies.
Name it. Check and check.
Your neck and your back?
Yes.
Hey.
Name it. So as I sit here, it's amazing I can actually put two words together. So there's all of that. Anybody got any 2 cents on how to get through this? I'll be for it. I'm up for it. You know,
icy hot.
Hey, listen, I've heard crazier stories today.
Massage gun.
The stories we heard about Bill Walton's life are one thing. Another thing as well. Never met anybody in my entire life who decided to have a little bit of plastic surgery. The surgeon decided the work wasn't up to his standard.
His standard wasn't up to the
surgeon's standard.
Very interesting.
And said, I would like to redo it for free. And the recipient of the original surgery said, okay, I will accept your mulligan. I'll give you your mulligan.
How bad could it be the
on my
time?
Face?
It's only my face.
Jay Felly, everybody.
Nobody goes to
the worst part.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jay Felly.
I asked Sarah, our makeup artist, to cover it so you guys wouldn't see it and bring it up. And she basically went, hey, Rich. Jason, you still want me to cover that scar?
Yep.
So, wow. Exactly.
Are you throwing Sarah under the bus?
A little bit. Yeah.
Don't throw her under any bus, sir.
All right, she played.
Dude. You could have basically said I got in a fight. And I'll be like, okay, no problem.
Yeah, I like to keep my job.
No, please. We wouldn't have believed it anyway. Passed.
I would have went with that one personally.
Tufo, maybe on the boat.
Can you put that on our X feed? Would you give a plastic surgeon
a second chance?
A mulligan.
I mean, he just looked at me for a while and went,
I can do better. I don't like it. I can do better. And you said, sure.
I said, no, I'm all right. Then he said it was free.
Great. By the way, you're lucky Susie's not in the chair because it would be a heck of a lot more crap coming from this direction to you. All right. 844-204-RICH, number to Dom. Listen. We've been talking about this guy from this chair for quite some time. Because when an official or an umpire makes it about him, it's a tough one for us to handle. The only thing that's tougher than that is somebody who's terrible at being an official or an umpire and seems to refuse to admit it. Not for a single moment is there any sort of sense of humility or contrition in any way, shape, or form as they botch something so obviously. Not that they're ever going to say my bad in a post-game press conference or anything like that. It's just body language, you know, just the sense that you get from this individual. Mm-hmm. And that this person has Supreme Court-like tenure in his sport or attaches himself to the sport like a barnacle that can't be scraped off.
That doesn't sound good.
That person will always be a subject of scorn from this chair. Don't know the man personally, but there hasn't been a single soul who's played the sport that feels any other way about Angel Hernandez than the one that I've just described. Longtime Major League Baseball umpire who is 100%, if you come up in the dictionary of sports and baseball for the word incompetence, his photograph would be there. And this is a man who has been all over Joe West forever. A guy who basically, at least Angel Hernandez, would just lift his arm high up so everybody could see the
really
call that's
high.
Being made.
Big right. Celebration of a story.
But the number of players that just lost their minds with him and at him.
That Schwarber one from last year's playoffs.
Well, Bryce Harper also got ejected because of a check swing call that Angel Hernandez from third base called as a full swing, even though it looked just like the check swing at the pitch beforehand. Exactly the same that Angel Hernandez had called no swing. and then basically having Bryce Harper go from third, from home plate to third base to curse him out to get ejected, fully knowing he'll get ejected. And then Angel Hernandez sitting there saying, "You swung." And then you'll see, basically telling him, "You'll see," meaning the replay will vindicate Angel Hernandez. And the replay showed nothing but Angel Hernandez's incompetence. But again, don't take my word for it or the player's word for it. CeCe Sabathia, when three calls, not one, not two, but three calls of Hernandez's in a playoff game got overturned in a playoff game. Three calls at first base got overturned. And CeCe Sabathia saying after the game, he has no business being a playoff umpire. Don't take my word for it. How bad was Angel Hernandez?
How bad was he?
Steve McMichael called him out prior to a Take Me Out to the Ball Game rendition in the 2001 season.
I'll have some speaks for that home plate umpire after the game.
Is that Mongo Steve McMichael?
And then, yes, in Chicago.
And then Angel kicked him out.
Kicked him out. Threw him out. That's 2001. This is 2024. He has retired. Announced his retirement, which sounds to me like baseball saying, because he hasn't umpired a game since early this month. This is baseball, my assumption, saying we are absolutely done now. Because in April, he had the temerity to have three clear balls called strikes behind home plate in a game so bad. I came on this show and just went all in on him, and it was part of a chorus. It sounds to me baseball just said, let's figure out, because according to Bob Nightingale of USA Today, who first reported this retirement, it was part of a negotiation. So my only concern is, as always with Angel Hernandez, was it the right call?
Yeah.
Now you might be sitting here saying, Rich, you've just called him a photograph of incompetence, the definition of incompetence. You just went all in on this guy. You don't know him. That's true. I do not know him. Although Will Clark did say that he did buy him beers at one point.
Really?
Did buy him beers at one point. And as Will Clark said on a podcast, after buying Angel Hernandez beers, Angel Hernandez was wondering, why are you buying me a beer? Like, for at a brief bit, seemingly, according to the Will Clark story, professionally offended that, are you trying to buy me off with some beers after a game? And Will Clark says, no, I'm just buying beers for you. And Angel Hernandez said, thanks, you. That's very nice of you. And as Will Clark said, the strike zone for the rest of his career with Angel Hernandez behind home plate was this big. He put his hands around his eyes like it were goggles. Okay. So Will Clark did, in fact, make it seem like he bought off Angel Hernandez with beers.
It worked.
Okay. Again, so I don't know this guy. And I apologize to his family if I'm making this even worse. But how is this, once again, a bad call? Because I think Angel Hernandez should have announced he's retiring at the end of the year and had a Jeter Rivera Big Poppy type send-off where he would show up in every stadium and somebody would give him a gift.
Yeah, I'm
fully
behind this.
LASIK. Free LASIK.
Free LASIK.
Behind home plate, give him free LASIK.
How about you go to the optometrist, they give you one of the, you got to do the chart.
Yep.
Giant
big,
chart.
Big. And they're
big
all K's. They're all K's.
Oh, literally right down the
yeah,
row.
Yeah, right. Down.
Some of them
correct.
Are backwards.
Right, and you have to sit there, cover one eye,
and like, K.
No.
Oh, no, wait.
No, that's not a K. You called it a K. We could have had these. We could have, his retirement ceremony could have been forever remembered this year, brought to you by Lens Crafters.
Right.
How about this one?
This is so right.
How about this one? Honestly, while we're spitballing here, how about this one? How about Angel Hernandez bobble ball night? Where it's just a little, statue of him or whatever, a little figurine of him
crouching
down.
Yep,
but
yep.
It he stays the same. The only thing that bobbles is the ball goes in and out of the strike zone.
It's
and
you have to. You're watching a TV, there's the box, the strike zone, and the ball just
the ball goes
And you're going to have to decide it whether, you know, whether there's a
strike zone bubble.
But as we've just talked about right here, we just talked about home plate, and third base, first base. There wasn't a base from which Angel Hernandez could not maddeningly screw a game up. Couldn't honestly. So I couldn't believe it.
Pretty stunning.
You know what I mean? Like, I never thought I'd see this day. Same thing like Daniel Snyder owning Washington.
And the fact that it was effective immediately.
Yeah, ouch.
Like, it's over.
Done. See ya.
We don't even get to boo him one last time. That got taken from us. I didn't get a chance to heckle him at first base.
Apparently, did he release a statement?
He did, to Bob Nightingale.
Okay, what do we have? What's the statement? Starting with my first major league game in 1991, I've had the very good experience of living out my childhood dream of umpiring the major leagues. There's nothing better than working at a profession that you enjoy. I treasured the camaraderie of my colleagues and the friendships I've made along the way, including our locker room attendants in all the various cities. That's nice. I've decided I want to spend more time with my family. Needless to say, there have been many positive changes in the game of baseball since I first entered the profession. This includes the expansion and promotion of minorities. I'm proud that I was able to be an active participant in that goal while being a major league umpire. He did sue the league and unsuccessfully on that front. But, hey, listen, if you want to spend more time with his family, that's outstanding. I'm just wondering if, you know, within the first couple of moments or weeks or whatever, he gets cursed out also. I hope it's not the way it is in his personal life. I feel terrible saying this sort of stuff, but honestly, it was just so unacceptably poor watching this man call games the way that he did. And then, honestly, seemingly, did he ever ask for help? You know what I'm saying? Like, it looked like he never asked for help. Ever.
I'm watching the Bryce Harper at bat where he just loses his mind.
Right?
Now.
Yeah.
Well, the Schwarber one is amazing because Schwarber, like, Gronk spikes his bat
because
and helmet
he knew,
and then goes
it was
nuts.
Just like, because, again, it's one of those things, too, you know, where you're ever in a let's just say, a hotel room and you're hearing some sort of a clanging noise, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like a pipe that's got the water running through it or something like that. And it happens in a very rhythmic way, like it's every 10 seconds, every 15 seconds. And you just, you know, you love the peace and quiet, but you know that Klein's about to come again and you can't do anything about it. That's what probably playing in a Major League Baseball game umpired by Angel Hernandez was like, where you just knew. And the quiet, the peace and quiet of you just being able to go about your business and doing whatever you wanted to do, you know it would be interrupted by something that was unavoidable. That's what it was like. And watching a game like that was just infuriating.
The Umpire Auditor Twitter site was, "Thank you. You gave me more content than I possibly could have dreamed. I didn't deserve you. Enjoy your retirement, King."
Okay. King, right? I feel I very rarely go all in like this, but so my apologies, Angel, to you for saying this, but I think it just needs to be said. And I do hope, you know, if there was any positive contributions, I'm glad you did provide them. And do enjoy your retirement, because I certainly will.
With all due respect.
With all due respect. Yeah. By the way, last thing I will say is, great call, Angel. Great call. Never said that before. Harlan Coben, think twice, which thankfully Angel Hernandez did not do. Or he should have. See, you go back and forth. It's like the bobble. Angel Hernandez bobble ball night. We should make one of those. Think twice. Available where you get your books. Harlan Coben is zooming in. That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show. Man, the Hoops Finals are right around the corner. How cool would it be to go to one of those games? You might even be thinking that right now. And if you are, I've got the solution for you. Game Time. Makes getting finals tickets even faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to tip-off. You get killer last-minute deals. All-in prices, meaning no surprises on the final cost. Views from your seat, which means no surprises on your view of the court. The lowest price guarantees also there for from Game Time, which takes the guesswork completely out of buying basketball tickets, certainly when it's the biggest event around for hoops, the finals. Take the guesswork straight out. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code RICH, and you get $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account and redeem my code RICH, and you get $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. How many books have you written, TJ?
Just one.
Me too.
Yeah.
This man has written now his 36th novel. Okay. I'm holding it right here.
We're slacking.
And a great background, great Zoom background. It's called Think Twice by Harlan Coben, and the great Harlan Coben is back here on the Rich Eisen Show.
This isn't background. This is my wallpaper.
That's impressive. Very impressive wallpaper you got there.
The wallpaper. Just so I can promote the current book.
Yes,
so,
it offers you this lovely glow as well on the Zoom camera, Harlan. It's impressive.
Yeah, well, you know, I have put a little makeup on. I know I'm on the Rich Eisen Show. You got to up your game, man. You
part of the same brotherhood. I'm not talking about being an author. I'm talking about the follicly challenge.
You have Jay Billis on tomorrow? What, one bald guy an episode? Is that how it kind of works now? You can't have him on the same day as me.
It's our quotient.
It would just be too much of that.
I know. It's the quotient. We gotta hit that one. Man.
Only have so much eye candy on the network.
Was it true? Did you tell a Dickie Thon story the last time you were on, Harlan?
I did, because I was the only, I think, Houston Astros fan in the New York region during, I think it was the 86 series against the Mets.
That's right.
And crazily, I went to Shea Stadium to watch the Astros play the Mets in that National League Finals when Mike Scott was pitching against the Mets and everybody was whining about him scuffing the ball. And my biggest memory, I wore a Houston Astros jacket sitting in the bleachers at Shea. And Dickie Thon hits a home run. And literally the entire place is quiet and I'm standing applauding wildly. And somehow still survive that night.
Was it the breakout sort of whole design? The old school like breakout design for the Astros too? So
yeah,
you stood out.
It was dark, but it had that the orange and orange and orange stripe. It was like three shades of orange that don't exist anywhere in the state of nature. And my son, who lives in Houston, still has it. Wears it to Astros jacket.
No kidding.
To games now.
No kidding. Nah.
Yeah.
Now it's a throwback. Now everyone's like, yeah, man, that looks great. Where do I get one of those?
Then you jogged in it so you wouldn't get hit by a car back in those days.
People get, you know, get airplanes moving to their proper gates wearing that sort of stuff with the cones. So,
by the way, I challenge your viewers, though, or listeners, to say who else in the Astros hit a home run to win that game. Besides Dickie Thon, who is the other Astro that most people may not remember, who hit the other home run?
With Harlan Coben, ladies
there
and gentlemen.
Go.
Okay.
Pete Incaviglia?
Not just making stuff up for a living.
Pete Incaviglia was basically in high school in 1986. No, we're talking about...
Jose Cruz?
Was it Jose? Good one. That's a good shot right there.
Good guess, but it was Alan Ashby playing catcher. Alan Ashby. So there you got a Dickie Thon and an Alan Ashby, which about as rare is in a game, I think, as the Rangers the other night winning off of a shot by Lindgren tapped in by Goodrow.
Nice. I like that. By the way, Dickie Thon and Alan Ashby, described amazing. My usual pack of Topps baseball cards that I would get, hoping to get a J.R. Richard or a Nolan Ryan instead. You know what I mean? Like, come on, really? I got three of those now?
Where's Mike Scott at?
Hey, so wait a minute. You don't think Mike Scott scuffled the baseball in the 86 NLCS?
I think I read somewhere that Alan Ashby did it on the side of his shin guard is how it actually worked. They were going nuts trying to figure it out back then. Maybe somebody knows better than I do. But that was the rumor. I didn't care. I was just having fun at the game. And I think part of it was at the time wanting to sort of just, poke the Met fans. But the Mets ended up winning that series, so
the joke was on that. And the World Series as well. I mean, I remember those LCSs as the Angels and the Red Sox had a dynamite one in 86 at the same time. So are you from Houston?
I'm not. I don't know why I was not. As long as a weird kid, so what can I tell you? No longer, but I was an Astros fan when I was a kid. In this book tour, I just went to Houston and got to watch the Astros lose to the Brewers, which was kind of fun and old school. And it's been so long since I cheered them, I forgot they were now in the American League. That's how old I am.
Yes, they have since moved.
Are we catching the Dodgers and the Reds? Are we going after them?
No, I like it. I like it. Harlan Coben here on the Rich Eisen Show. 36 novels in, Harlan. What would you have said if I told you that when you were writing your first? What would you say?
I wouldn't have believed it. I mean, everything's been sort of a dream. But yeah, 36 novels. Think Twice, I think, is my best. For those who like to challenge themselves, you will not guess the surprise ending of this one. I guarantee it. And it's good to have Myron back. Myron, is a former sports agent who played pro basketball before his injury. And so for the sports fan, there's a little something there also.
Yeah. So how do you, if you don't mind, without spoiling it, how do you come up with something that where the ending? Do you start with that and then work your way back? Is that how you do it?
Yeah, and I know the ending before I start. In this case, it was weird. I had read an article that since they've been keeping track of serial killers, we have less serial killers than ever right now from the 70s, 80s, 90s. Not because we are mentally healthy. Lord knows that's not the cause. We all know we are crazier than ever before. Mm-hmm. But because it's so hard to get away with it. You have now everybody has a cell phone. No one hitchhikes. So you're on CCTV 100 times a day. Your car is being tracked. So it's just hard to get away with it. So in my mind, I'm thinking, how can you get away with it? And that's how the book Think Twice started.
And then how did you, come up with the concept of your main character for so many of your books being a sports agent and being a former athlete? Like, why'd you go there?
Myron is me with wish fulfillment. He's bigger, faster, stronger. I'm a better dancer. I'll demonstrate later.
Nice.
And I am slightly wiser in the ways of women, knowing your audience and knowing the guys that are sitting in a room with you. This is no great shakes. It's like saying syphilis is better than gonorrhea. You know what I mean? I'm not talking about geniuses. But slightly wiser in the ways.
Someone's a wordsmith.
And I should point out that I was an All-American, a collegiate All-American basketball player. Though I will add to that, I was not picked collegiate All-American by Sports Illustrated and the USA Today, but I was picked collegiate All-American by the Jewish Post and Opinion of Indianapolis. Somehow, painstaking research, they found five Jews who played college basketball.
What was the name of this publication?
The Jewish Post and Opinion of Indianapolis. I'm a All-American. I picked by them, a collegiate Division III All-American.
So you were a Punim in the crowd? Is that what you were for that?
I think it was me, Heshi Moisha, and two guys from Yeshiva. They found five of us who played college basketball.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So this is wish fulfillment. I love that.
Yes, very, very much so. Myron was a lot better basketball player than I was. And then he got hurt, and so now he runs a sports agency where he constantly gets involved with mystery and mayhem, fun and laughs, I hope. But it also at the end of this book, as weird as this sounds, I hope you're crying a little bit of a tear also and after the surprise.
Fantastic.
So I'm trying to give it all to you.
I appreciate it. Think Twice, available now wherever you get your books. Did you drop some Rangers information on me earlier in this conversation?
I did. You know, I was thinking actually, you know, you guys are talking basketball a lot too, but Barkley Goodrow has become sort of the Dennis Johnson.
Oh,
DJ. You know, the guy who sort of doesn't do much during regular season. All of a sudden, the playoffs come around, and there's DJ, right? And there's Robert Horry.
Mm-hmm.
Goodrow right now seems to be that for the Rangers.
Well, so, the Rangers keep winning in overtime, and they keep doing that. They'll bring the cup back to the Canyon of Heroes. That's for sure. Are you going to any of these games? Do you go to them?
Well, now that I'm off book tour, the Harlan the Whore tour finally ended, I hope to be back at the Garden. But I was actually there in 94 when they won. I was in the greens. Remember the old green seats?
Of course.
We still think of it, right?
Green,
yellow, orange, red.
Harlan, we were talking about this the other day, that Madison Square Garden used to be, color-coded, and the blue seats were the very top. And that's how I always refer to anything that's at the top of an arena. Those are the blue seats. And those were the seats that I do believe worked the most blue with their chanting as well, Harlan.
That's where the fans were, man.
For sure. So you were a green seater, though, not a blue seater.
That game I got upgraded all the way to green, which is the second worst seat in the house. But, so I still think of the Garden sort of that way. I mean, we're also showing our age. It's sort of like we're talking about the polo grounds here.
I know.
We're going to talk about peach baskets in a minute, I think.
That's exactly right. I know. But I remember going to the Garden back in the day. So
they tried sneaking down to red and orange, but rarely got there.
So when do you start thinking of Novel 37? When does that happen?
Now, already.
Really?
One quick story about 94, the Rangers.
Please,
when I got there,
please,
the crowd was so nervous. It had been 54 years since they won the cup, and I'm sitting behind two guys who are lifers. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They got the flannel shirts on, and one saying to the other, look, I got to remember, win or lose, I got a nice wife at home. I got good kids. They were so nervous. The Garden was so quiet at Game 7 until they won that game. It was almost more relief than joy.
Yeah, because everyone knew that there was a trapdoor, and it kept on opening ever since, 1937, right? Like, that was the...
Something like that.
Right.
I'm not good with the math.
I know.
You guys do it. 54 years in 94.
Right, so...
I guess that's 1940.
That's what I remember. That was the phrase, 19... Because I remember Islander fans would chant 1940 as they were going for their drive for five. Again, dating myself as well. But that's, the blue seats would chant about how Pot Van sucks, and that's the way it was back in the day. So I completely understand that, but it does have that sort of 94 feel, certainly when the Knicks were in the playoffs as well, because that was a year that both of the Rangers and the Knicks made the finals. We know the Knicks fell up short, but this year, but the Rangers not so much.
But you got to admire this Knicks team. I mean, this was my favorite Knicks team. I think I got it. I mean, definitely going back at least to the Oakley Ewing Starks years, but I would even go back to the Frazier, Reed, the Buescher, Bradley years. They were just so much fun. They worked so hard. They just didn't, they had too many injuries and too many things, but watching them give 100% every night and doing what they could with that talent, you just had to love that team.
Hey, man, Jalen Brunson, I put him in my top five favorite Knicks of all time now. I really do.
It was just so much fun. It was so much fun to watch.
Hey, do you want to do that? Do you want to give me your top five favorite Knicks of all time off the top of the dome?
I start with Walt Frazier. I will, even to this day, what's so great, you see Frazier at the Garden. What is he, 80 years old? He still looks like he can go out there and play.
Well,
he's got a funny story to tell.
Yeah.
You have to always start any conversation with him. You know, it's hard to go away from the Reed, the Buescher, Monroe of it, and then Bernard King.
Mm-hmm.
You got to go Ewing, Oakley, Starks.
Now you're going to give me five. Harlan, this is not, you're not writing a novel. This is sports talk radio. Okay, what I'm saying? All right.
I used to be in that brief, dude.
Get in this lane here. All right. We're not editing down pages. All right. Like, you got to give me five, and it's going to be only five. That's the end of it. I need five of your favorite Knicks of all time.
Frazier, Reed, DeBuescher, and I'm putting the modern players in there, and Bernard King. Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I'm going to put.
All right.
Yeah.
No Ewing.
I'm going to skip the Ewing era because I mostly, have bad memories of that too. Just missing of it all.
But Bernard King was my, I would go Brunson, I mean, number one all time is Walt Frazier, even though I barely do remember him playing. But you got to, I do know of him and obviously and his years. But I would put Frazier, Bernard King is my second favorite. Brunson is on the list. Ewing. And I did this before and I left Frazier off, right? Because I just never saw him play. Is that what I did? Yeah,
Reed?
No, I did. Here's what I did.
Monroe?
This is what it was. I just, the ones that I saw play. So I went Bernard King, Jalen Brunson, Ewing, Oakley, and Anthony Mason. I loved Anthony Mason.
Man. I love Oakley too. I love Oakley and Mason as well. They were, hard nosed kind of guys, and you had to just love those.
I was the same way. All right,
it's funny you just mentioned. I was just at Roland Garros. I was at the French
Look
Open.
Look at you!
And they do this stupid thing where they yell things out, and the whole crowd yells "Olé," and I kept yelling "Pot Van sucks." No one in France quite understood. I was trying, they do that whole dance. They yell "Olé." I'm like, what the hell's wrong with you, French guy? What is that all about?
I'm telling you, and they would used to. I was in the old Yankee Stadium when they'd be dun 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 dun, dun and people would yell "Pot Van sucks" there. You know what I'm saying? Like they'd yell it there, Giant Stadium, where all Knicks fans or Ranger fans used to hang out. Oh my gosh! I remember all that.
I saw Pot Van once though claim that they're actually yelling Pot Van's cups.
Definitely not that.
The fans out there that are listening.
I'm sure. So wait a minute. You said you're already thinking of novel 37. You're already on to the next. You're on.
I have to be. Like I finished this book 6 months ago or so. So I have to be. It takes the time to print it and all of that.
Right.
I'm already. On the next one, I've been working on the next Netflix show. We had Fool Me Once. Some of you just probably saw on Netflix in January.
Yeah.
And I have to do a couple of those a year also. So, it's been a lot of fun.
You're killing it. Great to see you. Great to see you. Come out anytime. And you know what? We're going to have you on the most hirsute edition of our program, okay, next time you're out here. All right? We're going to have people with, looking like with mullets and everything.
Can we get security, though, to make sure we keep out the tax from the supermodels that will undoubtedly rush the studio if
they
find out we're all there at the same time?
Yes, Harlan, we'll work on that, certainly. Let me know when you're out here. Hey, congrats again. Always great chatting with you.
Thanks, Rich. Good talking to you.
The great Harlan Coben, everybody. Everybody see, everybody get Think Twice and obviously get it wherever all books are sold. Harlan Coben here on The Rich Eisen Show. That was a blast. Funny.
That's great.
Funny. All right, we'll take a break. One of the best basketball games I have been to in a long time this past weekend. And it was Fever Sparks. It was awesome, and Mike Del Tufo was there, and he's creeping me out. I'm not going to lie. This is going to be a fun chat. That's next. This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
We just showed Ken Tulo's special from back in the day. That was fun.
Big word alert.
I guess because I just dropped hirsute. You want to look that one up? You know what that means?
Yeah, hirsute.
Do you know what that means?
I think I do.
It means someone with a lot of hair.
Yeah.
Not every now and then you'll see something.
H-I-R-S-U-T-E.
Hirsute.
Yeah, hirsute. Someone who is... hairy, shaggy, bearded, unshaven.
See, I knew a novelist like Harlan Coben would know that. And I also knew that a complete slacker like yourself would totally not know
that. That's a gross mischaracterization.
Well, I mean, certainly.
By the way, Mike Scott in 1986.
Yeah.
Wow.
2.22 ERA, 306 strikeouts, won the Cy Young. Really good.
All right.
Yeah, ERA plus a 161.
275 innings pitched, yeah. Too. Like
five shutouts.
For sure.
He's good.
So, everybody should go get game time tickets, and certainly in advance of the basketball finals. If you are in the New England area, right?
Or
next week,
Dallas.
Maybe. I mean, I don't want to jinx it for the fans in Dallas.
I might have to go to Dallas next week.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay. Good to know.
Thanks.
You can go and get that game time app I've been telling you about for almost a full year now, and get it on a mobile device and start buying tickets. The basketball finals tickets, you can get them even faster and easier using Game Time. And prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to tip-off. Killer last-minute deals, all in prices. That's my favorite feature, that you get to see the full price before you purchase. Views from your seat, which is great, certainly if you're Mike Del Tufo sometimes. And the lowest price guaranteed. Game Time takes guesswork out of buying basketball tickets. So make sure that you download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Take the guesswork out of buying basketball finals tickets with Game Time. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH, and get $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Cliff in Johnstown, PA, has been hanging on for a long time. What's up, Cliff?
Hey, how are you guys?
Thanks for hanging in there. What's on your mind?
Johnstown, Pennsylvania?
Yeah,
okay.
I was just talking about you guys' comment on Wednesday about how you guys think Minnesota has the hardest division, and I really think that's false. I push back. I think Pittsburgh has the hardest division. They easily have two, three guys in the playoffs every year. I mean, what, Detroit maybe goes once every other year, and then Chicago, or, I mean, Green Bay. And
I'm with you.
So I just feel like,
I'm with you, Cliff.
Don't have the hardest one, but I listen to you guys all the time.
Thank
you. On Roku, and and then I was talking about TJ. Which one of those Texas hot dogs did you want me to go to? Because I'll definitely go to the one of those and have one for you.
Well, Cliff, you know,
there's
first
two
of all,
in Latrobe, or there's two in Altoona, right?
Yeah, I used to live in Johnstown too, Cliff. By the way,
I live in Lindbergh.
Okay, the one downtown is, but there's one out by the mall. There's one downtown. Those are the two. Either one,
so they're
excellent.
Don't matter which one is anyone.
They're excellent, both of them.
Fantastic.
My man, I will definitely do that.
My brother Cliff.
Thank you, Cliff.
She's a fan of the show too. I really like you guys. You guys are awesome.
Thank you.
Cool.
Say hi to the missus.
Appreciate
for me.
You,
that's
man.
Not hopefully
Thanks,
creepy at all. But that's Cliff in Pennsylvania. He's totally right. Were you the one who said the NFC South is? I mean, the NFC North is the
NFC North. I think
toughest division.
I would say both Norths.
You can't say that. You have to choose one.
I would
one.
Say both Norths.
You have to choose
well,
one.
It's not Friday, so it's not.
No, you have to choose. That's what's more likely.
That's your thing. You like you can't.
You have to choose one.
Choose
toughest
one.
Division in football. You have to choose one.
AFC North.
I agree. Absolutely.
The potential of two rookie quarterbacks in the NFC
exactly.
on the NFC side kind of makes
guys,
a little less likely.
Clearly,
the quarterbacks
it's the NFC East. Is
no,
the
it's
toughest
not. Don't even say that. You can't say that.
NFC East.
You can't even say that. You can't say that.
What
now.
Are we doing here?
He's doing
Come
it.
On.
AFC North, for sure.
No doubt.
Best division of football.
The four quarterbacks, Deshaun Watson and Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson, two-time MVP, and then Russ and Justin Fields are what, the weakest link?
Yeah. And I think it's not close, actually. They're kind of a distant fourth.
Compared to the other three?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know how Deshaun Watson and Russell Wilson haven't been too far off of each other the last couple of years.
I think if you put it to a vote, you definitely want Deshaun Watson instead of Russell Wilson.
Because everybody's thinking of the latter-day Houston Texan, Deshaun Watson, who has basically shown up, I would think, would you say, and again, I'm not a watches all four quarters of Cleveland Browns action like a Browns fan, but his performance against the Ravens to beat the Ravens this year in Baltimore, best game is a Brown by far. And that's the one where he got hurt in.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the one where he was either hurt already and finished, and everyone's like, well, wait a minute.
Oh, yeah,
you're like out for a while, if not done for the year.
Forgot about that.
7 years younger than Rust, also.
I understand that. Yeah. I understand that. Yeah. But, yeah, I would say that they're, that's what I said, the weakest link.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
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 Friday night. Let's talk about Friday night here in Los Angeles, California. It was lit inside crypto.com downtown. Susie and I took Taylor to the Fever Sparks game, where Caitlin Clark had yet to win as a professional basketball player. Cameron Brink, number two overall selection. She was out there for an LA Sparks team that had the home court advantage, but there were a ton of Iowa Hawkeye jerseys walking into that arena. And a lot of people, including our side of the family, with all due respect to the Sparks, we were coming to see Caitlin Clark play. My daughter wants to see her play. She was there with a bunch of her teammates from her rec league team, and all we were watching was Caitlin Clark missing shots. The reason why she was missing shots, I will tell you this. The Sparks treated her like the Pacers and the Sixers treated Jalen Brunson. They picked her up on the floor all 94 feet. They made every minute of her night an absolute nightmare. They were all over her. There was no way. I mean, and for her to get her shot, she's trying to come off of screens that either weren't working or they had two people marking her, it seemed like. And so she missed damn near every three she took. But what she was doing, she was dishing some of her passes. I know she passed Pistol Pete at the collegiate level as the all-time greatest scorer. Some of her passes looked just, I mean, they were just as crisp, innovative. I didn't see that on the floor. She did type of passes. They were amazing. And to the point where some of her teammates weren't ready for it. Or they were, and they're not used to it from her yet. And they would just it would just bounce off their hands and go out of bounds.
And she gets credit for the turnover for that.
She's currently, I believe, worst in the WNBA for turnovers per game. She's also, however, she's got 14.5 points a game. That's best as a rookie in the WNBA as we're currently sitting here. And when this game turned in the third quarter, they were down by double digits at half. And Caitlin Clark's teammates started performing better. But I'm just telling the story straight from the Caitlin Clark point of view here, with all due respect to her teammates. When it started to turn, and towards the end of the game, Fever's up by two. They're sensing their first win of the season. Caitlin Clark put in two threes that were from way deep, and the place went nuts. Absolutely insane. And she gave kind of a shrug. She dapped up your friend, Kutcher, who was sitting at half court.
Yeah.
And actually, after the win, came out to say hi to him. And the place went nuts when she came back out. I mean, absolutely 100% playoff atmosphere in that building. It was filled up like a playoff game. And it was playoff Lakers tickets on the secondary ticket market type prices.
It was pricey, man.
It was off the hook. And her and Cameron Brink had some back and forth as well at some point trading baskets. It was great. Loved it. Can't wait to go back. Cannot wait to go back. Only thing is, we got to get Del Tufo. I can't say a better seat.
No, he had a great seat.
He had a great seat. His buddy put him right there.
Yeah,
But this is just like, I mean, Mike's just look like he's creeping. I mean, look at this.
So I was watching on TV. TJ, you were watching on TV. You spotted this before I did.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm just watching the game in this area, and I'm looking, and I had
the NBA
game
too.
On the other TV, and then the camera panned. I was like, wait, what?
Here's the favorite thing. Okay, and like this is it's just not acceptable. Like this is the photograph he's taking.
These photos.
Well, he sent it, but he sent a bunch of other ones too.
Bunch of other ones.
Great action shots of her on the floor.
Yeah, getting the ball.
And then he texted the whole group. I easily could have been a sports photographer. All part of the entertainment factor of a great night in downtown Los Angeles.
So funny.
For a WNBA game, we are absolutely going back, even without Caitlin Clark being there.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Guest star Sarah Carter as Alicia Baker, although I didn't really work with her a lot. But Tom did, and they had some real big smoochy scenes.
Yeah. Should we talk about that?
Could there be any more sex? What was a three-page makeout scene that just kept going? Good Lord. We get it. They have chemistry.
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.